1 John chapter 2. We're just going to look at verses 7 through 11 this morning, just five verses. We're working our way slowly through 1 John. We started by reading the whole thing. Now we're taking it apart piece by piece and digesting its message. Our series is called Essential Christianity, because 1 John is all about the essence of what it means to be a Christian. What is essential to be and to believe, to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. Essential Christianity. Two messages ago, we learned that one way to get at the essence of Christianity is to say, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. God is light is essential. And if we claim to have a relationship with the God who is light, then we ourselves will walk in the light as He is in the light. But that can't just be talk. Last time we were in 1 John, we were reminded of what is on the cover of your bulletin. That there must be a match between our talk and our walk. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to... Right. John said, verse 6, whoever claims, talks, to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Now in this next paragraph, 1 John 4, 7 through 11, John is going to build on those two ideas. He's going to put them together. God is light, so we must walk in the light, and we must walk as Jesus did. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in love. The Lord Jesus Christ walked in love. Here's the title for this morning, this morning's message, and if you look on the back of your bulletin, it says this: if you love, you live in the light. If you love, you live in the light. We're going to see that most clearly in verse 10. But now let's read the whole thing and then pray together. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Would you pray with me? I love, Lord, those last lines of that song we sang, while all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care, and everywhere that man can be, God, You're present there. What a good thought it is for us to remember that we have our life borrowed from You. You gave it to us to enjoy and to bring glory to You with. But it's from You, and You will take it again someday. So what do we do while we are borrowing this life? Are we going to make it count for eternity? Are we going to do the things that bring You the most glory? Or are we going to squander it? Lord, teach us to love our brothers, so that we would walk in the light. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when I said that John will circle around these three areas over the five chapters of the book: moral, social, doctrinal? Does this look familiar? These areas are areas of essential Christianity. True Christ followers will follow Christ in moral directions. They'll be good. They'll walk in the light. They'll do what is right. They will walk as Jesus did. True Christ followers will follow Christ in social directions. They will love their brothers and sisters in Christ. True Christ followers will follow Christ in doctrinal directions. They will believe the truth about Jesus Christ and not follow false doctrines. John's going to circle these three areas again and again over the course of this book. Which one of these three is our passage about today? Social, exactly. Love. Now, it's also about moral, of course, because love is the right thing to do. It is walking as Jesus did. But this passage is more about love than anything else. If you love, you live in the light. In fact, the whole application of the point of these five verses could be summarized with this sentence. Beloved, love your brother. Beloved, love your brother. I get that word beloved from verse 7 where it says, dear friends. Now the word translated in your NIV, dear friends, is agapetoi, which literally means those that are loved. Those that are loved. Or the old word that we don't use very much anymore, beloved. I don't know if you use that word this week. Beloved, please pass the butter. You know, probably didn't use that word, but it gets across the idea. Beloved, please pass the cranberry relish. Beloved are those who are loved. So John loved these people. And Jesus loved these people. And John says, if you are those that are loved, love has come towards you, then you should love your brothers. Again, blessed to be a blessing. Beloved, love your brother. That's the command that John is talking about in these verses. Love your brother, love your sister, love your fellow Christians, love your fellow church members, love those who are loved by Christ. Is that an easy thing to do? Sure, sometimes. Other times, not so much. Other Christians are not always so lovable. Apparently, some false teachers who had left the church that John was writing to had sowed the seed of false teaching that love for other Christians was non-essential. Not essential to Christianity. It's no big deal to hate your Christian brother. What really matters is secret spiritual knowledge. Who cares if you love your brothers and sister in Christ? What really matters is secret spiritual knowledge, what we called last time a creeping proto-Gnosticism. Who cares if you truly love your brother and sister in Christ? What really matters is secret spiritual knowledge. But John insists, no, that's not true. Love for other Christians is essential to essential Christianity. Beloved, love your brother. He gives us three reasons in these five verses. Love your brother, number one, because this is an old command. Because this is an old command. Verse 7. Dear friends, agapetoi, beloved, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. John insists that this command to love your Christian brother is not a new thing. It's an old thing, a very old thing. It's an old command. Why is that important? Well, my guess is that those John is writing against were claiming that John was always introducing something new and trying to change the rules on you. Oh, I see, yes. All of a sudden it's important to love other Christians. When did that start? I thought it was important to walk in the light. I thought it was important that Jesus died for us. Which is it? When did this command come along? I see in our culture, we love things that are new. That's why we have Black Friday. And there's the newest and the latest shiny object for us to go after. We love something that's new. Our motto is, the newest and the latest is the greatest. But in that culture, there was lots of respect for old things. And old people. It was important to show that this command was something old and not just a fad. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. This isn't new to Christianity. It's as old as the world. And it's the direct word of our Savior. the Lord Jesus Christ gave this command, and John had passed it on faithfully. These Christians had heard this message of loving each other time and again since the beginning of their Christian life. So raise your hand today if you knew that Christians were supposed to love one another. Raise your hand if you knew that. That's like everybody here, okay? Everybody knew that one. Why? Because it's not new. It's an old one. Beloved, love your brother, because this is an old command and it's still in force. Number two, love your brother because this is a new command. Love your brother because this is a new command. That's what he says in verse 8. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Is this a contradiction? No. John is saying that there is a way in which this old command is new. It's new because there's a new era dawning. A new era, a new age, the dawning of the age of Christ, the age of the Spirit. Listen to verse 8 again. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him, Christ, and you, Christ's followers, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Okay, trick question. This should be an easy one, but I'm warning you in advance, it's a trick question. Has Jesus' kingdom come? Yes and no. Good. Yes. Yes, it has come because the King has arrived. The kingdom is here because the King has come. And yet it is still coming. It's already come, but it's not yet here in its fullness. So in the terms of this verse, has the light come? Yes, the light has come. God is light. And He has come in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And the darkness is passing. But the darkness is also still hanging around. It's on the way out, but it's also still lingering here. Here's what is new. The kingdom of light has dawned. And the King of light says, a new command I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Where's that from? Anybody? That's the Gospel of John. Chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. That's our Lord Jesus. He said, a new command I give to you. Love one another. And here's what's new about it. Jesus has shown us how to do it sacrificially. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's new. Wow, is that new. Now we are shown this sacrificial love of the Savior who was our example, who showed us how to do it. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's new. And the kingdom of love has dawned. So we've got to love our brothers. Because this is a new command. One that goes with the new kingdom that is dawning. We've got to, or we'll be lying. Verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, but hates his brother, is still in the darkness. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're back to the whole talk and walk thing, aren't we? Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Lights haven't come on for that person. They're still stuck in the old way before joining this inrushing kingdom of Christ. It's not good enough to just say that we're in the light. We must love our brothers and sisters in Christ because, number three, if you love, you live in the light. If you love, you live in the light. Verse 10. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. Doesn't that sound good? That is just one of those verses that it's one to memorize. It's one to have it deep in your heart. Let's say it all together. I'll put it up on the screen. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. God is light. And to live in the light, we love our brothers. Now, again and again, that doesn't mean that if we love our brothers, we will earn living in the light. It doesn't work that way. It just means that if we have been loved by God so that we are in the light, if we are agapetoi, if we are beloved of God, we will naturally and supernaturally walk in the light and love our brothers and sisters in Christ. The two go perfectly hand in hand. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But, verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. How many of you still have some scouting to do this afternoon for tomorrow? Raise your hand. I'm the only one. Oh, man. This is why I won't have a buck tomorrow, but you will. I'm planning to go out again tomorrow and take the gun for a walk. Those of you who go out, have you ever noticed how different the woods are early, early Monday morning compared to Sunday afternoon? It's not hard to find your place on Sunday afternoon, right? You walk right to it. But if you're smart, you're marking that path really well because tomorrow morning at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, everything looks different, right? Was this where we turned? Was this the tree I saw yesterday? It looks different at night. Where's that path I was on yesterday? Where are those deer I saw yesterday? The darkness blinds, and it causes us to stumble. There's a very clear path between our chicken coop and our back door. I walk it twice a day. Now, in the morning when I walk it, there's light when I let the chickens out. In the evening, the darkness has come, at least this time of year. And there's one spot between, I shouldn't even tell you this story, but there's one spot between these two apple trees where we used to have an apple tree. We took out that apple tree. So there's a little indentation in the ground. It's on the way to the chicken coop. And in the mornings, I have no problem walking past that spot. But in the evenings, if I'm not using a flashlight, I stumble every time. Now, I know it's there, so I try to walk around it. What do I do then? Walk into one of those apple trees. That's what I do. I'm sure it's hilarious to watch me at night close in the chickens. What do I need? I need a light. If I don't have a light, I stumble. And if I was leading someone else, I'd cause them to stumble too. I think verse 10 could be either way, causing me to stumble or causing somebody else to stumble. That's what it's like if we choose to live in hatred for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If hatred marks our path, we will stumble in the darkness and we'll make our brothers and sisters stumble as well. Do we want to stumble in the darkness? Of course not. And the answer is to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if you love, you walk in the light. Some Christians are harder to love than others. Some Christians are harder to love than non-Christians. And sometimes our hate is not obvious. Sometimes we hate our brothers and sisters by not confronting them in some sin. Because love confronts. Love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is an active thing, seeking the best for someone else, often at a personal cost. Love is not always easy to do. Remember a few years ago, we memorized 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 together? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's love. It's not always easy to do. But we must do it. If we don't, we're walking in the darkness. How can we love? First off, by trusting in Jesus. Jesus said this in John 12. He said, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer." He's talking about himself. "Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going." Does it sound familiar? John is riffing off of Jesus here. Put your trust in the light while you have it so that you may become sons of light. So you see, the first step in loving is to put your trust in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Jesus died on the cross to pay for the darkness inside of you and me. And with His resurrection, He brings a new light into our lives so that we can be light and share light and walk in the light as He is in the light. So that we can be called the sons and daughters of light. And sons and daughters of light have the power to love one another. Jesus gives us the power to love the most unlovable Christian. And when we do, we live in the light. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Let's do that.